Quality of life is our making. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing, the University of Philosophy, here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher. Quality of life is our making. We have the tendency to feel that when we have problems, those problems should overwhelm us, and they should keep us down, and they should keep us from enjoying ourselves, and keep us from doing things. Well, the quality of life is our making. I know a man who lived virtually all of his life in a wheelchair. And he was a most remarkable man. He created a philosophical society in Los Angeles, and he had a most magical mind. And his mind was not in any way encompassed by that wheelchair. He would travel the world, and he would, with his photographic memory, remember everything and write down everything. And he would come back and he'd give lectures on ancient history and on present history. He would speak in words and tones and philosophy that the great intellectuals of the day found most satisfying and most competent. A most amazing man. Here he was, captured by his wheelchair, but not captured by his wheelchair. The quality of his life was in his own making. He made an institution. He let his mind soar beyond what the wheelchair did, more than many of us who are ambulatory, many of us who can get up and go around and who can travel and who can do all the things we want to do, unlimited by being tied to a wheelchair. Ha! There are people who are quadriplegic, no arms, no legs, and they take a paintbrush in their mouth and they paint pictures. And the pictures are good. And how many of us try to paint pictures with our two hands and whatever, and we cannot even come up with something significant because we are not challenged by it. These people who are with problems will not let the problems make the quality of their life poor. They let the problems that they have give them the time to make the quality of their life good. And they have the creative imagination to make the quality of their life whatever they want it to be. In my journeys into hospitals with patients all over the world, I have talked with them and loved them and told them they're wonderful, they're good. They say, but I'm sick, but I'm there. And I say, no, you may be sick with your body, but you're not sick with your mind. Your mind is a bright, cheery thing, able to go on and be beautiful and beautiful. I was talking with my brother Ray, who is in the hospital, and he's quite ill with his various things, and he's not able to get up. His body has just decided that it wasn't going to work for him, or at least he wasn't going to make it work. Yet his mind was crisp and sharp, and he is alert. He is alert of everything that he's doing. He's on top of everything. Now, all he has to do is be on top of his body if he wants to. But it's his privilege to say, I'm going, or his privilege of saying, I'm staying. It's our privilege at all times to set the quality of our life and have it be whatever we want it to be. He said living in that unhappy body did not make him happy. It gave him no desire to live. Well, the desire to live doesn't come from the problems that we face in life. The desire to live doesn't come from the obstacles that are put in front of us by our own experiences and our own way. The quality of life is in our own making. It's what is our attitude. Grandma Moses was an old lady, and she had painted pictures and done simple little paintings, and all of a sudden somebody found her. And she became an instant celebrity, an instant millionaire. And she is quite happy with that. And perhaps she slowed down in her painting because now she could afford to do all the things she wanted to do, and she could get up and go places. But that's okay, too. Quite likely she painted wherever she went. because painting was something she enjoyed doing. Painting was part of her quality of life. We must never forget that. The moment we are free of a burden, we must not forget that that burden may have been what made the quality of our life so good. How many people do you know who suffer many maladies, many unfortunate things in their life, and yet they have a smile on their face? They have happiness in their heart. They have the feeling that all is good in life, and that they are good, and they are beautiful, and they are wonderful. How many people do you know like that? Those people are real treasures, aren't they? Those people are very, very special people, and those people are the kind of people that make the life go round. Think about that. Think about what it is that you're doing with your life. How are you recognizing the quality of your life? Are you recognizing the quality of your life by the number of smiles you bring to other people's face? Do you recognize the quality of life? Oh, just like my dog Rex, a big golden retriever, happy boy, 2 years old, full of love, full of joy. Wherever he goes, people instantly fall in love with him. He has those big brown eyes, and he look at you with that liquid smile, and you just melt in his arms. You just think he's the most wonderful guy on earth. Huh. Perhaps he would be the right type of a dog to take with me to visit people in hospitals, because people would look at him, and they would say, "Wow." The only thing is that when he puts his paw on you, it's a kind of a heavy paw. And I have to teach him just to snuggle and smile with his head. And he can learn to do that. We can learn to do those things that make us beneficial, that prepare and present the quality of who we are to the world and to life. We all have that capacity. We all have that ability. I was snuggling my brother's little Jack Russell Terrier, and the little terrier was kind of sad with my brother being away in the hospital. And so I picked her up, and I said, "Well, Tipper, you are something special." And she looked and smiled and squiggled, and then she says, "I know." And then she jumped out of my arms and ran around as happy as could be. She needed to hear that she was something special. And not that, "Oh, you poor dog, your master isn't here, you don't have this. You're something special, you're something wonderful, you're a great little dog, you're fantastic." And you see, that attitude showed her the quality of her life and let her go out and express it. How many of you need someone to come along and tell you the quality of your life? Or can you tell it to yourself? Can you tell yourself, "I like me"? Can you tell yourself, "I'm a happy person"? Can you tell yourself, "I delight in living in this world"? Can you tell yourself, "Everything is wonderful, everything is beautiful, I'm fantastic"? Can you tell yourself all these things? Can you tell yourself? And the answer is yes. And the sooner we tell ourselves these things, the sooner we experience them. The sooner I tell myself I like me, the sooner I start liking myself. The sooner I tell myself I am doing everything right in a beautiful way, the sooner I recognize I'm doing everything right and in a beautiful way. The quality of my life escalates with every word of a positive thought that I give to myself. The quality of my life soars into the heavens with every beautiful thought I speak about myself. I like me. I'm whole and perfect. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I am surrounded by harmonious beings. Every organ, action, function of my body is perfect right now. My world is a world of peace. My world is a world of unconditional love. My world, oh, aren't these wonderful statements? Aren't they just wonderful statements? Keep saying them, keep saying them, keep saying them, and watch that be what your life is, just as it is what my life is. See how it works? Quality of life is our making. And quality of life is my making. Have a wonderful day. Make the quality of your life something so fantastic, so glorious, so wonderful, that not only you, but all the world will look at you and say, "It is good and very good." Just as the Infinite Presence spoke of its creation and said, "It is good and very good." Know that with all my heart and soul and being, I love you. I love you. I love you.